Following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello all, welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 440. I'm your host, Cradle.
And I'm Jason.
Today's record date is September 2nd, 2014. As we always do, Jay, what's been keeping you busy?
Oh, well then. Honestly, it has been one case of EverQuest 2 after another. I don't really know what happened. What kicked that off anyway? Wasn't it you who told me something about EverQuest?
No, last week you had said you had been playing.
Yeah, but I can't remember what started me playing. It's just like one of those. It's just like one of those things where you're just like you're standing there and goes, "What made me do this?" And then like you know, 12 Snickers bars later, you're like, "Okay, well there you go."
All right.
So, I started EQ2 again, and I guess maybe I was just updating something. And I logged in and started playing, and I played up one character, and then you said you were going to log in, so I went ahead and logged back in again, and built up, I deleted one of my old PvP characters that I wasn't using anymore, and we logged up those two starting in, what is it, Kelathan?
Yeah, Mm-hmm.
But I'd forgotten that they changed the city betrayal quest. Now you have to become an exile to get, to change your city, even if it's good to good. See, back in the old days, you know, you could pretty much just kind of cruise around. But in the new EQ, when they made that change, basically you have to become an exile. And exiles have their own black market area out there, out in the middle of nowhere, with little portals that lead to different locations, Nectilos Forest, Thundering Steps, blah, blah, blah. But so I became an exile. And because I made a Froglock Templar who can wear plate. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and try to gain access to Kinos, right?
Yeah.
Because you have to start off in Kelathan. So I got all the way up to 10th level or 12th level, somewhere right around there. Betrayed the Kelathan quest. There's an actual quest where you betray Kelathan, do something so bad they exile you. And then I'd forgotten. I was under the impression it was like in the old days where now you have to go somewhere and there's a certain quest. You have to do so many things and then bam, you're a citizen. No, you become an exile, at which point you're not anywhere, and you get sent to the exile place, and now you have to choose which city that you want to gain your favor with and start harassing their alternate city. So because I'm in Kinos, I am now harassing Freeport, and it's not really simple. I'm outside the gates, you know,
yeah,
and the guards will rush and kill you immediately, and the guy that you need to talk to is hidden right next to the guards.
Right.
So,
yep.
So I think his name's McManus. Starts with like a G. It's like G McManus, something McManus. And you know, you start off with plus 45,000 or 50,000 to your home city. And it looks like completing these quests, which are repeatable, only give you 1,000 points per.
Wow.
So it's going to be, you know, 15, 20 quests minimum before I can do that. And some of them have you starting inside, so if you're a scout you can try to get inside the city.
Yeah,
so that's what I've been doing. So EQ, more EQ, followed by a little bit of EQ, and I updated Legends of Norrath, and I also updated what was the other one, oh dear lord, I updated the original EverQuest, and then I also updated MechWarrior, and there's one other shooter that I used to play. And I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I updated both of them, just in case.
Just in case.
What have you been doing?
Well, like you said, played a little EQ with you, EQ2. Since you and I have played, I started a Dwarf Defender, I think, or Guardian, Dwarf Guardian.
Guardian.
So just sword and board kind of fighter type. That's fun, I'm enjoying that. Now, the last time I played EQ2, which was a while ago, a few months ago, here was my experience with Betrayal. What I did was I had one tune I took from Kelathan. I started a bard, a wood elf bard, and went to Kinos. Now, in Kelathan, there's an ambassador that you talk to. And what that ambassador told me was, oh, it's no big deal. You just, go talk to the ambassador in Kinos, and they switch your citizenship. So I went and talked. I mean, I ran or, you know, did all that stuff to get to Kinos. I ran in and talked to the guy, and he was like, oh, that's fine, but we need to build your reputation. Go talk to this person. So this gnome had me running around the road outside of the city, gathering trash off the road and doing stuff like that, building up faction that way. What I think you've done is you've started the quest line to go from good to evil, not just change cities. I think that's why you had to go full exile. So that's why I think you have this slow grind, is because it's treating you as if you came from evil to good, I think.
That's weird, because it asked me if I did not like my city anymore that I could move to Kinos. And yeah, the ambassador was right there, but that SOB wouldn't talk to me. So he was like, you need to talk to the person standing over there. So I went and talked to the person standing over there, and they're like, you need to betray the city by injecting, getting these things like seeds and mushrooms. And basically, I built a bomb. I was like a frog terrorist.
Yeah.
And I blow up an airy, and then all the Fae jump me and like, you're under exile. And that's what I wanted anyway, you punk. So I end up in exile. Whoa, dude. So
yeah, I think that's why you're having to go through this. I think that's why you're having to bend over backwards, man, is it's you're doing the evil to good betrayal. Okay, not just changing cities.
No, I don't want to be a defiler. That's what the other guy is. He's contemplative defiler. No, it's not defiler. It starts with a C. Not consecrator. Inquisitor. That's
Inquisitor.
What it is.
Inquisitor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Templar to Inquisitor. Screw that. I don't want to be that. I'll I'd rather do trash pickup.
Right. I mean, that's what I was doing. That big road, that long road outside of Kinos that takes you by the aqueduct. I was just running around, and there were randomly spawned clickable trash heaps, and you just collect those. So, okay.
I gotta go kill people, and you're out doing trash runs. I'm blowing up, right, you know, towers and stuff. Man, I feel dirty. I'm gonna have to go wash my computer.
That's funny. So, yeah, I did some EQ2. Of course, played some Team Fortress 2. A little bit of Dead Space 3. I'm not too far into that either. And I've also reloaded and restarted Mass Effect 3. Now, on the PlayStation 3, as I've said many times, I've played everything on Mass Effect 3, all DLC. On the PC, the only thing I was lacking on my last playthrough was Leviathan, the DLC Leviathan. So this weekend, I bought that. I had a credit on Amazon, a $5 credit, so paid $5 for the DLC, and I've restarted a playthrough. This time, I'm trying out an Adept. I think that's what they're called. They're essentially the biotics. Really light, you know, on the weapons, and a lot of biotic powers. So, for all intents and purposes, in a relatable fantasy game, they're the wizards. They're the casters, glass cannons. Ooh. So, that's pretty fun. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. Let's see here. Let's move on. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Dead Space? Did you already say?
Yeah, I played a little bit of Dead Space 3.
Did you see what Origin was giving away?
Are they giving away one?
No, they're giving away Wing Commander 3.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned that on a couple shows ago.
Did you?
I did. I think what they do, what it seems that they do, is they're on the house. That's what they call it. Their free game, yeah. On the house. I think it's the same game for a month. I'm not sure. But yeah, like Jay said, right now it's Wing Commander 3, so...
I downloaded it.
Did you really?
Oh my god, I did. Couldn't have enough Mark Hamill.
Is that even Mark Hamill in the third one?
It is totally Mark Hamill in the third
one. Is it really? Wow.
Yes. Sad, but true.
Didn't he show up in the first or the second one? Or was
second
the third?
Yeah.
Second one, okay.
And Roddy, I think, was in the second one. Okay. Roddy McDowell in the second one.
Roddy McDowell, yeah. Right.
Wow.
Man, there was something else I was going to say. Oh, part of news, but I didn't put it in the show notes. Last week I talked about, or maybe the week before, I talked about how Bioshock is on iOS now. $15, you can download it to your iPad or your And it has to be fourth generation or newer iPad. Your iPod Touch has to be fourth generation or newer, although I can't imagine playing a shooter on a tiny little screen like that. Or your iPhone, it has to be like a 5S or newer. Well, the reason I'm mentioning this is because Kotaku, one of those guys, did a review of it. And while he said it plays fine, he said the graphics are crap. And he has a side-by-side, even, you know, now remember this game came out in 07? I think it was 07.
Yeah, it was at least
but the graphics, yeah, but the graphics are still fine. They're good. They're fine for what they are. Even on the iPad, you know, that's Retinal Vision, blah blah blah. It still looks worse than a PC running an 07 game. They said the frame rate is crap. The graphics are crap. They've removed certain elements because it just makes the game too big and. I was kind of really disappointed about that. I was planning on getting that. I was even looking up how to jailbreak my PS3 controller. Because you can, on iPad, it does support a Bluetooth controller. You can play like that. So, just one of those things I popped in my head. I forgot to put in the show notes, but wanted to mention it. Play at your own risk. Even though it's an awesome game, I recommend just grabbing it off of Steam or Amazon. Amazon's digital download video game stuff, they usually have it pretty cheap. The most I've ever seen it is $10. And a lot of times you'll catch them on sale for $5 or in a bundle.
Yeah, I was going to say a bundle, yeah.
Yeah, they almost always do the bundles, 1 and 2. And a lot of times you'll catch it with 1, 2, and Infinite. So play at your own risk. All right, to get into the true news for what we have in the show notes. I saw this last night and actually texted Jay. I was like, dude. So last week, I believe it was, we said that it has come out that a fan group is trying to buy the license from NCSoft for City of Heroes. And that things are looking good. They're in negotiations, blah, blah, blah. Well, last night, being September 1st, per NCSoft's requirement, they were able to announce who is actually trying to acquire the license. And it's not a group of fans. It's not a group of venture capitalists or whatever. It's actually missing. Right. It's actually Missing Worlds Studios. These are the guys who are doing City of Titans, which we have talked about extensively. I know. And cityoftitans.com. Go check it out. They have little demo movies posted. Nothing even remotely pre-alpha yet, but they are building on the Unreal 4 engine, and it looks freaking incredible. So, that was NCSoft's requirement, that they don't mention anything until September 1st, and yesterday, Nate, and I can't remember the guy's name, the president of Missing Worlds, just jumped right on there. I was like, hey guys, we're trying to buy City of Heroes. So, with that being said, I don't know yet. Of course, we don't know if they're going to get it. We don't know for sure, although he has said things look good. But I don't know if they're going to scrap City of Titans, per se, and just change the name to City of Heroes. I mean, now, if you look at their plans and you look at their little concept things and whatnot, it's almost a, I dare say, block-by-block, building-by-building recreation of City of Heroes. That's what City of Titans is. They don't call it Atlas Park, but it's called something similar and has the guy holding the gigantic globe on his shoulders. I mean, it's that similar. Now, if they get the COH/V license and Unreal 4, that's going to be badass.
See, that's what I see happening, dude. I see them basically stopgapping production of City of Titans with City of Heroes.
Yep.
And just going ahead and saying, okay, look, now you guys want to play this, we will reactivate this, but we're going to keep one test server running City of Titans, and that's going to be City of Heroes 2. And we are going to take this to the next level by jumping off of this right here, which has this huge fan base that's been waiting for it to come back anyway. We're just going to reactivate. I mean, that's if Star Wars could have done that. If Star Wars would have said, hey, we want to buy that Galaxies back up again, and then just jumped and talked to all the people who were doing repopulation and said, I tell you what, you reban repopulation as Star Wars, Galaxies 2, dude, I mean, you know, that would have just been orgasmic, okay? Mm.
Check out cityoftitans.com. It's, now they've added a lot of powers. They've added a lot of, you know, kind of, well, not a lot. They've added like a couple extra classes that were not in City of Heroes, you know, Blaster, Defender, Controller, blah, blah, blah. Now, City of Titans, this is one that I kickstarted. It was a Kickstarter course, like they all were, but I did kickstart this, and I'm kind of throwing in my official vote here saying that if they wanted to kickstart and take my money to buy the license from NCSoft and just kind of take the Whiteout over top of Titans and replace it with Heroes, I'm fine with that.
Same here.
I'm fine with that. You know, I sent this to a buddy of mine, the other guy I've talked about, who's a huge, like, rabid City of Heroes fan. And I was kind of disappointed because he was like, yeah, I'd like to play City of Heroes again, but, you know, I'm ready for... It was outdated. And I'm like, dude, you understand, of course. Please tell me you understand Unreal 4. They're not just going to, like, flip the switch and turn the old-ass server back on. And I was kind of disappointed by his lackluster response, but whatever.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say he's kind of heavily invested with Valiant Online, which, you know, that's another. Yeah. It looks fine. It does look fine. It looks like City of Heroes with better graphics. I mean, even the font, the power buttons, where I can't explain it, but how they kind of looked like. Like kind of faceted, but like a light was shining from the side, so it's kind of white on one edge of the power button, and, you know, goes to the darker collar. You just go check it out, but that's what he's kind of waiting on.
Did you read the update for and the mask comes off, where it locates over to the other forum topic about the deal as it stands? Did you read that portion?
I don't know that out there real fast. Yeah, go ahead.
Does the proposal as it stands right now, this is not a final form, just the current proposal on the table, is that the COH IP would be spun into its own company to handle licensing. This company would itself license the existing engine from NCSoft for the creation and maintenance mode using the binary copy of the i23 server, which was their standard server. You know, that shard server that they had when they left. The existing user database and characters are not part of this arrangement at this time, nor is the source code. As an arrangement is to be made to license the trademark to the various Plan Z projects, COT, Valiance, and H&B, to create a family connection and to allow each to drop the spiritual portion of the successor. This means that they can make references to the original game if desired, and enable the expansion of partnerships. This could be expanded for any of them, and should the desire be theirs. An arrangement is also to be made for the Atlas Park Revival project. As part of the informal agreement we have with them, they would be given an official stamp of approval, and the COT game build would be licensed to them to create a kind of COH 1.5 and migrate people off of the classic game engine before it finally becomes unsuitable. We expect this to happen when Windows 9 is released due to the binary compatibility. This can be done because both APR and COT run on Unreal Engine 4. So that answers both of our questions. They expect this thing to only last another year and a half, well, a year really, until Windows 9 becomes available. And once that happens, there will be a physical incompatibility with the old COH code. But by then they expect the new COT to be on Unreal Engine 4 and up and running. So there you go.
Cool.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. All right. So just so I'm clear. So what they want to do is essentially run the old game until Windows 9 comes out.
And it looks like what they're going to do to squeeze as much money as they can in NCSoft out of the licensing of this, because that's what they're doing. They're licensing. It's not a true purchase. It's a license.
Right.
They're franchising the name out to these people, so each one of these games can make a physical link instead of saying spiritual successor to the original game, and even produce a 1.5 hybrid until 2.0 can come out.
Okay. At which point 2.0 will be more than likely their code on Unreal 4 that they've been working on, blah, blah, blah.
That's it right there.
That works for me. I'm fine with it. I mean, yeah, you know, like Jay and I both have said, the City of Heroes was dated. The graphics were old. Now, the game came out in 04, but, you know, the graphics weren't why people played. I mean, you know, it was cool. It was neat. It was cool to fly around and see all the flashy things and everything. But, you know, the community was there. That's what really made the game, in my opinion. Well, you know, I'm fine with it. Even this, I'm fine with. If they pump out the old thing, just flip the switch, turn it back on, and we play the old game for a little while before we move on to the next new, bigger one, I'm fine with that.
Especially considering, and I'm hopefully considering, that it's going to be microtransaction-based, or even if they do subscription, as long as it's not stupid expensive, then right. I'm with that. But we already have the games. We've already got the discs. It's not like we have to go out and rebuy any of that.
Yeah.
So that being said, they turn the servers back on. We start playing again. Microtransactions come back online. We get to restart our character from scratch. You know, level them all the way back up again. And by then, in a year and a half, which is about how long it takes to really get bored of a game. I hate to say that, but that's true. And, you know, the new Unreal Engine 4 comes out, and we're already pumped up about that. So there you go.
And the thing is, you know, Missing Worlds has the servers. When they go to the new game, we keep our characters.
That's it.
I don't see why we couldn't. So there's none of this. Like, you know, the speculation has been on Facebook, on the various forums. Oh, well, if it comes back, are we going to get our characters back? Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, if Missing Worlds has it, then yes, we'll keep our characters when we change to the 2.0. Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
And they also, they're creating that family between all the games. They specifically said to create family between the games. They want all of these superhero games, even though they're not the same concept. Well, they're not the same engine.
Right.
They're all the same concept, and they're all going to be linked together.
Mm-hmm. That would be neat. The Valiant Online guys had a little posting, you know, where they were like, oh, you know, congratulations to Nate Downs and Missing Worlds, and wish them the best. They're doing a lot of good work, da-da-da-da-da. It was damage control, in my opinion, because they were like, oh, these guys are working great. They love the game. They're supporting the community, da-da-da. But don't forget that Valiant Online has been working, and we've been doing some good things, too, because I think they kind of see, you know, maybe the door slamming in their face, afraid that people are going to immediately jump ship. But you know, if they are making the effort to include the other, at least Valiants, I don't know anything. I don't know if they're even going to try to reach out to Heroes and Villains. But, you know, maybe if they franchise that code out to Valiants, you know, maybe have a big company merger or something, I don't even know, cross,
and that'd be great, you know,
that would be great.
Maybe Valiants could be City of Villains instead of, and they could constitute the
right
heroes.
Right,
we just don't want another Champions Online is all we want.
Gosh, no, not at all. Alrighty, well, check this out. Jay has thrown another link into the show notes, and of course that will be posted with the episode. Moving on to WildStar Online. Just today, just a few hours ago, as a matter of fact, they announced that WildStar Online will be essentially shutting down servers, going for the mega server thing. You know, think back to, I don't think SWTOR really did it. I think they just shut down servers. But Guild Wars 2, where they combined the populations and, you know, Jay's definitely the person to explain it, but making a mega server, you know, that's not like a new piece of hardware, is it? It's shards or instances?
Yeah, basically, it works a lot like, well, I mean, it depends on which route you go. You can make a server farm that, in, you know, as long as you have one massive database that can be accessed in the amount of time it, you know, has the transactionals to do all of those, real-time spatials, then you're okay. But that's where Eve has been kicking the dog snot out of everybody else. they went to IBM and said, look, we're not going to go the Shard route. And I mean, you're talking about a company that did this, you know, how long have they been around now? 10 years, 12 years now?
I think 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. They went to Big Blue and said, we're not going to do shards. We want one server. And so IBM said, okay, fine, we'll make a new architecture for you guys. And that's what they did. They made one of the first massively multiplayer dedicated server architectures. And the whole architecture, not to get too technical, you have to understand that upload and download speeds, if anyone's ever done a speed test, there's always a massive difference there, right? It's important to understand when you're doing any type of combat game that things have to queue up in a certain order and happen in a certain order, otherwise the game's just useless. Small fighter ships have to be faster and react faster than large ships. Large ships have to do massive amounts of damage, at which point it has to be counted instantaneously. So how do you handle all those massive amounts of data transfers in the right order at the right time in a single shard, you know, basically happening all at once? Well, Eve, the people, CCP, those guys are just geniuses, because I've read their dev blog and I got lost. I got lost in their dev blog. Those guys are so smart about how to queue this stuff up. So that being said, any game that says they're going to go mega server route, they're talking about a bladed style system with massive amounts of cores that are all connected as quickly as possible to one basically distributed database. So yes, you're talking about a huge influx of capital that they're planning, but they expect it to pay off.
I logged into WildStar probably, I don't even know to be honest with you, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and my particular server, which was one of the original Storm Talon, was just dead. It was just absolutely dead. Now, granted, I was in the earlier zones, but it was there was no one around. And, you know, I expect to see a game this new, a lot of people max leveling and then going back and redoing alts, but the game was absolutely dead. Or my zone, rather. And, of course, with any new MMO like this, people come in, and after your first month, your population drops. It always does. So that's the primary reason why they're doing this. Combine the servers, get a bigger localized character base for you to find a group with, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sure there's some stuff on the back end that helps them out. Maybe... So I guess, Jay, they would be able... Well, we don't know how they're actually doing the mega server, but I guess depending on what they do, they could actually shut equipment off, which would save on electric bills.
I mean, you know.
Sure. Maintenance. You know, you don't have to maintain those servers if they're not running, I'm assuming.
It centralizes everything. There's a double-edged sword to it, obviously. If you have a data center capable of staying 24/7, no redundancies needed, obviously saving on money, but then also you have to say, okay, well, what's the latency to this one super server from Australia? Because distributing these servers to PacRam, Australia, all these places that will play it, that's pretty damn serious stuff, because I remember how freaked out the SWTOR people got when they lost their servers and now they have to log in West Coast Cali.
Right.
The latency from their proxy servers all the way up there is just ungodly. So they've obviously, like I said, done serious market balancing here and saying, okay, we're going to upfront for these huge servers. We're going to shut down our, you know, probably semi-new servers, you know, and sell it to somebody else. And we're going to save on electricity. We're going to save on, you know, people. We're going to save on satellite offices. But we're also taking that chance. That, you know, one good DDoS attack is going to take our entire game down. So, and you see what I'm talking about there, having one point of contact.
Well, no one can, you know, we've talked about it. You can't totally prepare for, you know, the DDoS. I mean, as a matter of fact, when the game launched, I mean, their first 15 minutes of launch, they were down because of that. So there again, I don't know WildStar, since they are published by NCSoft, I actually don't know if they have their servers on site or if they are at a server farm somewhere. I don't know. I do not know that. But But there again, they are going the mega server route. And to quote Jeremy, man, host fail. I can't remember his last name, but the lead guy for Carbine has said, and to quote, in the near future. So now he said, oh, this is something we've always wanted to do, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I call shenanigans. I don't think so. They had the servers out there. They wanted the population. You know, the hardcore fans are staying after the first month or two. The bandwagon people, like yours truly, has left after a couple months. And, that's just something you got to do. But I do kind of like it as well, because look at how long SWTOR stayed with all those freaking servers running. And, you know, almost every single one of them had low population. I mean, you would be in a zone in SWTOR in the early days, and you would be the only person there. Huge zone, and you'd be the only person there. You'd log into the major cities or even your fleet, and there'd be like 30 people. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like it. Like I said, it is, I feel, responsible game whatever, wrangling, but... So look for that in the near future. If you are a current WildStar player, there may be a few hiccups, but who knows? There may not be. So yeah, guys, it's been kind of a light week for news. Not too much has gone on. PAX just wrapped up, but PAX is a gaming series of conventions, not really a video game. Now, there were video game studios there, but no real breaking news or anything like that. So. That'll wrap us up for news for this week, and we're going to flow into geeky stuff where, as usual, Jay has us covered.
Well, I don't know about covered, but if you like Firefly,
right.
I'm actually going to require some input here, because I have yet to play the board game, and I've been wanting to play it for so long. Being in college and having kids means my disposable income's less than I want it to be, but being the Firefly... a psycho person, every time something Firefly comes on, I read about it. Well, I never got to play the board game. I've heard a lot about it. I heard it's a, you know, card combo. It's got a little bit of miniatures in it. And there's, as far as I can tell, two or three expansions out for it already. But Firefly, the board game, has been getting some really, really good reviews. They just came out with a new expansion called Pirates and Bounty Hunters, I believe. Let me verify
yeah.
that
mm-hmm. yep.
yeah Pirates and Bounty Hunters, and I wanted to look at that because one of my favorite episodes is the episode where it's called Dead in Space, I believe, and
yeah.
Mal gets shot and he starts having these flashbacks all the way to the beginning, you know, of Firefly, and uh-huh. then how he gets all the crew, and he's just trying to get Serenity up and running because it's, you know, one of the parts has failed, but they get basically jacked by this, he gets shot by this crew who says they're going to help, and they have this big ship that's got, you know, basically trapping arms on it, and that happens to be the ship available on this expansion. And I wanted to call it the Warden, I think was the name of it.
I do SS not Warden. Know. I do not know.
SS Walden, that's it. The Salvage oh, okay. SS Walden. So, yeah, and, it's just one of those things where, you know, the I like replaying the movie through the games, but this is that particular ship. I think it's really cool. But I want to play the game. So what I'm planning on doing is seeing if I can con someone, my wife, into maybe getting this as an early Christmas present, because me and her both love Firefly. We were both really cool. big into it, and the fact that it got canceled killed us both, and then Serenity came out, and we're like, yay! But so, yeah, but then they kill him. What?
Yeah,
that right. was horrible. So anyway, we're gonna go ahead and pretend that didn't happen and play our own game. And so this is the board game we're gonna try to get. I'm gonna see if I can't get my hands on a copy of it. We're gonna play it. I think you said, didn't you get your hands on a copy at one point?
Well, I gave this as a gift to a buddy for Christmas, but I haven't actually played it. But I want it.
Call
I
him.
Do want it.
Call him and ask him if you like it.
Right.
We'll get him on as a guest speaker. Hey, man, you got some team speak? Come here.
All right.
So, but this is one that I want to play. Now, in that vein, as I was discussing this with Gray, naturally, Gray fires off, I mean, Jason, of course, didn't you say you like Dragonlance? I'm like, yeah, I love Dragonlance. Didn't you say at one time you met Margaret Weiss while she was drunk at Dragon Con?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she was peeing in the boys' bathroom, but I try not to pick on her about that.
Nice.
When authors get drunk, they get drunk, okay?
Yeah.
But that, all right. So I'm standing there thinking about this. Fly board games would be awesome. And he drops, well, did you know Margaret Weiss made her own RPG for Firefly? And I'm like, okay, that's two things I didn't know. Really? And he's like, yeah. So naturally, immediately, I start flying. Now, this was what, all of 30 minutes ago, 40 minutes mm-hmm. ago? So I'm right. digging through everything. Drive-Thru RPG, a place we consistently pump for anybody who wants to get, you know, cheaper than average rule books, has it. $19.99 Firefly, the role-playing game core book produced by Margaret Weiss Productions. I am going to get that. That is not an if, and, or but. That's going to be mine probably within the next week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I love reading the lore and stuff like that, you know, in the games. And Margaret Weiss is without a doubt one of my favorite authors of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Between Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman.
Yep.
Enough said right there.
Oh, yeah.
But I plan on getting this. Do you have a copy of this, by the way?
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I knew it was coming out, but I don't. I think it launched like just within the past week or two. I mean, it's very, very new.
So we're talking very about new. Blitz here. So that's what's really going on here.
Now, here's one thing that I'm curious about, and I don't know anything about. So on Drive-Thru RPG, which Jay's included a link in the show notes, check it out. It says the Firefly RPG uses a free Wheeland, keeping with the, you know, the country speak, free Wheeland version of the award-winning Cortex Plus system. Now, I don't know what that is. Do you? Do you have any idea?
Negative. Where is it? What's the you know what I mean? Context. Thank you.
Well, that's like, you know, D&D uses a D20. See what I'm saying? Like, Shadowrun uses a D6 uh-huh. system. Now, I think this is Margaret Weiss's own, the rules, like her own rule system. It's called Cortex. And I know nothing at all about it. I hope not. I hope and pray not that it's not like the new Star Wars RPG.
Oh, that fast and loose jump?
Yeah, with God, what are they called? Like crappy dice that are success or fails and not really true, you know. Now, I'm not a munchkin and I don't love doing that bullshit, but I do like at least seeing some kind of stats and numbers and things like that. I do like that. But I don't want it to be, you know, I just don't want it to be that stuff. I really, truly don't.
It says it's based on the Sovereign Stone system.
Okay. I kind of know that, and I can't remember who did Sovereign Stone.
It was subsequently used for Battlestar Galactica and Supernatural RPG. So apparently, if you know one system, you can do BSG and Supernatural, which, by the way, are two of my other favorite TV shows.
Uh-huh.
Uses dice with 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and 12 sides. Describe a standard role-playing game notation.
Okay, alright. Alright.
Three parts of your dice pools are relevant attributes, agility, strength, vitality, alertness, intelligence, and willpower. And uses plot points, which increase character survivability and give players greater control over events in the game. They can spend plot points to gain extra dice. This sounds like an exploding dice of the, you know what I'm talking about? What was the Pirates game? It's 7th Sea.
Yeah, 7th Sea, right.
This sounds a lot like 7th Sea. Remember Luck Dice?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And they said you can even change the storyline if you have enough of them. Some assets require expenditure of plot points, and at the end of the session, excess plot points can be converted to advancement points, which allow you to advance your character. Doesn't sound like a bad idea.
No.
Okay. No. Well, for $14.99, we might just find out.
Right. And, you know, there again, I'm actually scrolling through the drivethroughrpg.com stuff they have on Firefly, and it looks like they already have a bunch of adventures out too.
Yeah, Echoes of the Tiger, Echoes of War.
Yeah, Bucking the Tiger. Bucking the Tiger,
Echoes of War.
Serenity Crew.
Yep.
Here's some character sheets, interactive crew and ship sheets. So it looks like there's a lot of stuff out already.
Sounds like we might have to jump on this, sir.
Yeah, might have to check that out. And I don't understand exactly what it is, but the interactive crew and ship sheets are listed as a 0.00 price.
Hmm.
Yeah, interactive crew and ship sheets get it free.
So, again, this doesn't sound like a bad deal. So, all of you brown coats out there who are still sporting around and waiting for the fabled Firefly channel to come back on, because Joss Whedon said he'd have his own satellite channel if he had enough money to pay for it. Hasn't happened. Well, we got this game. Let's go for that.
Well, you know, he's banking on that Avengers money and soon-to-be Avengers 2 money. And
this is true.
Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. money. He should be busted out that channel before too long.
I know, right? I mean, he's basically to pay people to have hallucinations. He doesn't even need drugs anymore.
Right.
Right? So, there we go. At this point, Joss, we're waiting on it, buddy. Thanks for memories.
Right. Very cool. Go ahead.
Oh, last thing. I was going to throw this out there.
Yeah.
For the football players. No, you're not one of them, but for the football players out there, Blood Bowl. For those of you familiar with the Blood Bowl fantasy football, the very first American fantasy football, I mean fantasy, I mean elves and orcs killing each other. You know, dark elves, you name it. They've got an army. Everything from Warhammer 40K has been included in this game, including cheerleaders, Wizards College, all of it. So you name it, it's there. That being said, they now have a Blood Bowl team manager that is a card game based on managing a Blood Bowl team for 2 to 4 players. It is actually licensed from Fantasy Flight. It is in the Warhammer Fantasy universe. You can be Orc, Human, Chaos, Dwarf, Wood Elf, and Skaven at the moment. And it does model American pro football teams, obviously. You can fight or cheat your way to victory. like I said, it is a... Well, hey, you know. I never said that we're not talking about the Raiders, okay? Now that I think about it, there's Raiders in real football and in this game. All right, well, you can take it out. I'm going to include a show notes. There's some people who have reviewed this. It recently dropped, and then stuff like this happens during this time of the year. It brings a new name to fantasy football. So it does look like a really semi-cool game. They didn't just make up a whole bunch of cards. They've got chits included that look really awesome. There's a whole bunch of abilities involved, obviously a lot coming from the game itself, where you can have the Bloodwiser girls and, you know, the cheerleaders cheating. You can buy cheats, you can bribe the refs, things like that. So I would say check it out. Like I said, I'm going to include a link on here, BlueRoomLabTV.com. Australia did a review on it, and it looks fairly complete, really. So take a look at it and tell us what you think. We're always happy to get some feedback on the stuff that we review. But that's it for me.
Awesome. Well, that's going to about wrap us up for this week, guys. Thanks for listening. Blacklace, as usual, will have our pertinent contact information on the way out. Now, this week was kind of a little landmark for us on the Pulse Gamecast in that it was our first live broadcast on Twitch. So watch for twitch.tv, the Holosuite Media channel. I want to give a quick little shout out to Twitch user Joss Fan and Wolverine's YouTube, who joined us as we were broadcasting live. Wolverine's YouTube asked me to give a shout out because his or her birthday is on the 17th. So there you go, Wolfie. Happy birthday. Thanks
happy
for joining
birthday.
Us. All right, if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on the PlayStation Network, on Steam, or on Raptor, the video game tracking service, under Teletech 77062.
You can find me on PlayStation Network, on Raptor, and on Steam under Jason, JaysynN. Feel free to shoot me or stab me in the back as you see fit, because I'll probably be standing there looking like an idiot.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.